Thank you indeed to the Wilsons for their ministry to us this evening. We'll hear from Ian in just a few moments. It is good to welcome you all here this evening. We pray that the Lord will bless us even throughout the course of this meeting and indeed speak to each of our hearts as we fellowship together. And we're praying that the Lord will bless the continued ministry of the Assembly in another week. And do remember the Bible class on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and the Thursday prayer meeting at 8 p.m. also. And Nigel Kissick from GMSA will be along to provide an update on the ministry that he's involved in, and indeed the work in South America. And do remember there'll be a retiring offering after that meeting. Friday, 10 a.m. for the Mums and Tots, 6:45 for the Good News Club, and then Friday evening also sees the commencement of the BYF weekend. So we pray that the Lord will bless and undertake for the young people as they're away for a couple of days together, and the Lord will speak into each and every one of their hearts. As we announced this morning, the Saturday Outreach will take a little different format this week. And coming, and so at 5:30, meet here at the church for an outreach time in the streets as the Christmas tree light switch on will be observed in the town here. And so we're looking for a good number to come and join. Perhaps it wouldn't be your regular habit to be out in the streets, but nevertheless, the opportunity presents itself this coming Saturday. And so join us at 5:30. And as mentioned this morning, there'll be some carol singing as well as the giving out of literature. So there's plenty for everyone to be involved in. And we encourage you to be a part of that special effort, even in the streets of the town this coming Saturday. Next Sunday, in the will of the Lord, in the morning hour, our brother Alan Carson will be responsible for the ministry of the word, and then I'll be back in the evening, God willing, to minister in the gospel. And just a note then about the December services, we're just giving it again this evening, simply because there's some who join with us only in the evening hour, but on each of the Sunday evenings in December, the meetings will commence at 6 p.m., so that's on the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th of December. Our gospel service will be at the earlier time of 6 p.m. On the 4th of December, Kings Park Primary will be along to join with us as they join in our service to sing some carols to us. And our brother Gareth Gwynn will be ministering in that hour. And then on the 11th of December, Carrick Primary will be along to do exactly the same. And Colin Highlands will be the speaker that evening. And then on the 18th of December is the church-wide carol service. And myself will be the speaker and the BYF will be taking part. As mentioned, there'll be a leaflet prepared so that you can share it with friends and family and invite others to join with us on those special occasions. And there will, of course, be a supper provided as well each of those evenings. So we're praying that the Lord will bless us, and we're looking forward even to the Christmas season as it's just right around the corner. That change of time in the gospel hour will continue then into the month of January. And on the 1st of January, the 8th of January, and the 15th of January, the gospel service will once more be at the earlier time of 6 p.m. And as noted this morning, it's simply for a trial basis as the elders reflect on the current placement of the service. And we'd covet your prayers even for wisdom as we progress that matter in the will of the Lord. Now, as mentioned this morning, there was a lot of announcements, but I had three that I didn't give. And so I've saved them for this hour. Well, I'm only going to give you two, actually. And we'll save the next one for next week. But just a note there from the ladies' fellowship that their Christmas event is planned for Wednesday, the 7th of December at 7 p.m. And it's termed the ladies' Christmas cupcake event. So that gives you a little clue as to some of the activities that will be a part of that evening. And there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway as you leave. And that's simply so that we can cater for the right numbers. And so it's essential that you put your name on that either tonight or next Sunday so that the appropriate plans can be put into place. So ladies, set aside that evening, Wednesday the 7th of December, 7 p.m., to come together for a special Christmas cupcake event. And that a sign-up sheet will be available both tonight and next Sunday. And then by the end of the month, the 27th, we just need to know the firm numbers. And so get your name down early so that we can make the appropriate plans and catering provisions for that evening. As well as that, many of you will be familiar with the singing ministry of Sam Houston down through the years. Well, Sam's released another CD, and he's furnished the fellowship here with some copies of that. And if you would like to avail of his new CD, it's simply entitled I Will Live My Life for Jesus, and it's priced at £12 for a CD or £13 for a DVD. Or if you like a bit of a bargain and you want to get these perhaps for presents for individuals at Christmas, you can get a CD and a DVD for the combined price of £20. And as well as that, he has given us some copies of his Christmas CD And that was released a number of years ago, and that's priced at £10 just for that CD. No deals available on that, unfortunately, and so you'll just have to pay the full price on that. If you have an interest in that, speak to myself. I've got these copies, and we'll get them to you, and then we'll be able to forward him any of the finances involved in that. But Sam Houston and his CD and DVD. Before we hear from the Wilsons again, then, we'll sing together, His Mercy Is More. So we'll stand to our feet. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum.
This is a relatively new piece to myself, second time singing it out and about, so forgive me if I'm just staring down at the words the whole time.
As they gambled for the robe he wore, they chose a worldly trail, not thinking of eternity, as the soldiers drove the nails. Will we learn from what they'd done, or make the same mistake? Jesus or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. I tried those worldly pleasures and they failed. When you hear the voice of Jesus and you hear the Master call, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? When the pages of my life have turned, time has rolled away. The greatest deeds that I have done won't help me on that day. And all my earthly treasures that I have laid away, they'll be to me just a memory, and this you'll hear me say. I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. I tried those worldly pleasures and they failed. When you hear the voice of Jesus and you hear the Master call, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus, I'll take Jesus. I tried those worldly treasures and they failed. When you hear the voice of Jesus and you hear the Master call, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? Me or the world, my child, which one will you take?
Book of Ezekiel then this evening, please. The book of Ezekiel in the chapter 37. The book of Ezekiel in the chapter 37. We say thank you again to Lynn and to Denver for singing to us this evening. The book of Ezekiel in the chapter 37. Reading together from the verse 1 of the chapter. The word of God says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Ending our reading there at the verse 10. As we come to this passage of Scripture tonight, we come into a book that is indeed a profound prophetical message. For in the ministry of Ezekiel, a man who was commissioned of God to go and to minister to the nation concerning all that would transpire as they would refuse to turn from their wicked ways and know the judgment and indeed the hand of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord upon them. As we come into this book, we identify a man who had a consistent message for the wicked, for he had compassion in his heart. And he had a heart to see not even that judgment to fall upon the wicked, but rather for the mercy of the Lord to be experienced. And so the consistent message right throughout this book of prophecy simply is, do not die, turn to God and live. And despite the bleakness of the hour in which Ezekiel ministered, and despite, of course, the bleak message that he came to prophesy, indeed, that judgment would fall upon a wicked and an ungodly nation, those who were rebellious in heart and those who had hardened their hearts against the truth of God and against the truth of his word. Nevertheless, shining through as a bright light over and over again is this message of hope, a message of life. Indeed, when it comes to the word live, a word found roughly around 250 times in our English translation, over 20% of the references of the word live are found in this book. And that stands apart then from all the other books of the Bible. Why? Because the theme of this book is a message of life available to those who are yet outside of Christ, those who are in their sin, those who have a sentence of death upon them, those who will know death if they do not turn, if they do not heed. And applicable then in this generation, as it was in the days when Ezekiel ministered, is that very message. For there is hope in the message of the gospel. And there is life to be known if one will but turn from their sin and look to Christ. And so many lessons can be drawn from this book as we come to it in a different generation, as we come to it a different people. And indeed, as we look in this passage tonight, in the chapter 37, we come to verses that may be familiar to many of us as we gather here. And these verses have a primary interpretation. Indeed, if we were to read on in the chapter, the Bible itself gives us understanding of the interpretation, that primary interpretation of all that we read off together. For in verse 11 he says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." And so this was a message to the nation. This was a message of prophetical nature, a message of prophetical importance. But nevertheless, as we come to it in the gospel tonight, we can draw lessons even from that from which we read. And we can apply them in the gospel, I believe, without violating in any way the laws of interpretation of Scripture and still being true to the message that God has revealed in his word. And so seeking to do that this evening and dwelling upon these 10 verses as we find them here in this chapter 37, I want us to notice, first of all, the message that was to be shared. The message that was to be shared. As God works in this man's life, as he takes him from where he was, the Bible tells us there, and lets him see a vision, lets him see something indeed that has a deeper meaning and a spiritual meaning. The Lord tells us there that he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" in verse 3. This whole presentation, as it were, begins with a question. The Lord is asking his servant, he's asking his messenger, whether or not there's any hope in his heart as he surveys the situation. For the Bible tells us in the verse 1 that that which he is surveying in this moment is simply a valley that is full of bones. A valley that is full of death, we could say. For here are the remains of those who once knew life. Here are the remains of ones who knew what it was to enjoy life and all the fullness thereof, but nevertheless, as time has passed, they are now reduced to simply a skeletal state, and they're found all together in this valley. And the question that comes to the messenger of God was simply this: can these bones live? You know, we come to it in an hour whenever the spiritual condition of our land, of our generation, is as bleak. All around there is no sign of life In a spiritual sense, there is but the evidence of death. Many there be who have hardened their heart to the truth of God's word. Many there be who simply are remaining lost, dying and perishing in their sin, seemingly regardless to the truth of God's word, seemingly regardless to the message of the gospel. Surely God's word to us tonight is, can in such days, in such a generation, can life be known? Thank God, as we come to minister the gospel, we have this message to be shared. Why? Because this message teaches us that life can and will be known as God works and moves in the hearts and lives of those who are dead in their sin. The Bible tells us in verse 4, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And here's a message that's to be shared. Here's a message direct, as it were, from heaven, given to this prophet, given to this messenger, so that he can impart it to those who are gathered around him, to those with upon whom God has placed a burden upon him to go and minister to. He says in verse 5, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What seemed to be an impossible situation, what seemed to be an outlook that was bleak, what seemed to be a work that was unable to be accomplished, is something which the Lord is testifying of here, that he alone is able to do it. And this messenger of God is given a profound message, a remarkable message to deliver, that in a place of death and a life that knows death, God alone is able to bring life. God alone is able to speak a word and to do a work that is truly able to transform, to make that which was once a reality no longer a reality. That which was once so evident, now completely revolutionized and set apart for his purpose and for his glory. Ezekiel was one who knew much of this command of the Lord to go and to minister a message, because God identified in the days of Ezekiel a dearth of such a message of hope. All around there were those who sought to stand before the people and profess that they were there as messengers of God. There, they were there as people who had the responsibility to a spiritual oversight of the people. But nevertheless, the summary that God gives is found for us in the first, or in the chapter 34 of this book. For as God surveys those who stand in the place of a servant, those who stand in the place of a messenger, those who stand in the place of a minister, he said unto them, as he speaks in verse 34, chapter 34, in the verse 2, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. And here God is reminding Ezekiel that his first responsibility, and the first responsibility of all those who would truly seek to serve him, truly seek to be his messenger, was to impart to those who were gathered around them, those over whom God had given them spiritual charge and responsibility, a message that imparted life. He goes on in verse 4 of chapter 34 to highlight the disaster that comes whenever the truth of God's word is not shared. He said, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And oh, the sad testimony that is given here of those who stood in the place of a minister, those who stood in the place of a messenger, those who stood in the place of a herald of the news from heaven, but yet through it all were doing that which was to the great harm and disservice of those to whom they ministered. They had no desire to see a work done, a transformation made, And yet God had called this man, Ezekiel, to go and to minister a message that spoke hope into a hopeless situation, that spoke life where only death was known, that spoke of a miracle whenever all seemed to be impossible. Truly, as we come to the gospel message tonight, that remains to be the central theme to the message of the gospel. For the word of God reveals to us that there is hope. There is only hope to be found in coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Oh, we can put our trust in the things of time. We can put our trust in others upon this earth, but there is none like unto Him who is able to deliver. And truly tonight, if you're with us and outside of Christ, then you take the place, as it were, of those who find themselves in that valley of death. Those in whom no life can be found and are identified within. Those who need a work of God to truly transform them and to bring them hope. And so the message that Ezekiel comes to deliver is, I believe, similar to the message that we have been charged in this generation to deliver also. That God is able to bring life to all who will believe. And in doing so, he is seeking to prove that he alone is God. And that his word alone is true. And so we see the message that was to be shared. But as you survey the valley, as you see the bones that are found within, and that evidence of death that is all around, we see God then do a work. Because it tells us in verse 7 that as he prophesied, as he was commanded, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone, and I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And so evidently God was doing a work here. Evidently God was transforming even what was apparent in that valley that day. But nevertheless, through it all, there was a missing ingredient. You see, as we come to understand all that's happening and occurring here in this valley, we see that although the bones are coming together and giving, as it were, some semblance of life, some semblance of a transformation, some semblance of a change, nevertheless, there was something that was missing. The true transformation had not yet been known. There was something yet to be done. And the Bible here identifies it as a lack of breath. You know, as we consider this in light of the gospel, surely it's true to say that in our land there is a semblance of God. There is a semblance of a belief in God, a reverence for God, a respect for His word. There is a resemblance of those who know the gospel, who know the power of the gospel, who have heard at first hand the message of the gospel, but yet within their hearts remains a work undone. They themselves have never been transformed. They themselves have never known that life that only God can give. And oh yes, on the outward appearance, it looks like they're doing all the right things and they're making all the right sounds and indeed they're attending all the right meetings, but within their heart remains a work yet to be done. And surely the missing ingredient in their lives and surely the missing ingredient in their hearts is the exact same that's identified here. Why? Because God has not breathed upon them. God has not quickened them. God has not transformed them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. Go back to the beginning of time and we see there in the Garden of Eden how that man made him, or man was made out of the dust of the ground, and God made him frame, the bodily frame there to be existent, but it wasn't until he breathed upon him that man became a living soul. Simply there in the garden, he was a life form. There he was a body to be admired and to be viewed, but he was not yet a living, everlasting being. It took a work of God to do that. It took the very breath of God to do that. And God in that moment breathed into man, and he became that living soul, and he then had that part of him that would live forever. And it remains true to this day that although the human body may decay, and one day we too will be found in a skeletal state in the ground, except the Lord returns, you have within your breast a never-dying soul. And no matter the stage of life that you may pass into eternity, the reality is that your soul will spend forever in heaven or forever in hell. And upon that day that God calls you home, or upon that day that God calls an end to your life, true knowledge will then be given of where you stand before God. For if you are here tonight and you simply have all the outward appearance of life, you have simply all the outward appearance of a resemblance of one who believes in God, who has adhered to the truth of his word, but yet within you, God has never breathed, God has never quickened your never dying soul, then you will spend eternity in hell. You're found in the balances, and your weight in the balances, and you're found wanting. According to God's word, you're lost and lost forever. Because just like in the valley there was that missing ingredient, so too there's never been that moment that Paul could testify of as he wrote to the church at Ephesus when he said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and had your fellowship among them, even as others." Has there been that change in your life? Or are you here tonight simply living a lie? Are you here tonight simply hoping against hope that all of the good that you've done in your life, all the faithful church attendance, all the meetings that you've come to, all the support, the money, the energy that you've given to an assembly like this, are you hoping against hope that in the end that will be enough? Do not fool yourself, dear beloved, tonight. For if true spiritual life is to be known, then it can only ever be known one way. It must always be the very breath of God that's administered. And so we see in this valley and in this account of the valley of the dry bones, a message to be shared, the missing ingredient. But notice then thirdly and finally the marvelous outcome. As Ezekiel heard this prophecy from God, I wonder in his heart or in his mind did he doubt it at any moment. As he surveyed that valley and saw nothing but dry bones, testifying indeed of the time, the length of time that had passed from life ever being known in such individuals, they were dry bones. Did he doubt in his mind or in his heart at any moment that God was able to do that work? Perhaps we're being unfair to Ezekiel, but I suggest to you that that's the reality for many believers tonight. For we gather in services like this time after time, and we come together with a desire to share the gospel, and we rally behind gospel efforts, but I wonder, do you ever truly believe that God can transform lives? Do you come with expectancy? Do you come believing that tonight God could save a soul? Do you come ready to rejoice with the angels in heaven at the work that only God can do in those who are yet outside of him? Do you come ready to receive the blessing that God is willing to bestow? But you know, as Ezekiel received this prophecy, and as you too and I have received that more sure word of prophecy according to Scripture, a word which testifies consistently from beginning right through to the end, as we have in our possession a completed canon of Scripture relating to us the faithfulness of God down through many generations, that testifies unflinchingly to this truth. God alone is able. And He's more than able. And so as Ezekiel receives this prophecy from the Lord, and as the Lord then begins to do this work, and as He brings these bones together, and upon these bones He places flesh and sinews, and as they're found there in a fully human form, the Bible tells us in the verse 9 that God said unto him, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived." Here was a testimony like none other. Here was an event that was unmatched and unparalleled in Ezekiel's experience, and indeed in the testimony that he was then able to relate to the nation of Israel. Here was evidence above and beyond anything that could ever be disputed, that God alone was able, and that power belongeth unto him. And surely tonight, as we come together, we do well to remind ourselves, one and all, believer and unbeliever alike, that when it comes to salvation, Jonah got it right whenever he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." No one in this church is able to save another. And this church alone is not able to save. But thank God tonight, he is able to save to the uttermost all who come by faith unto him. And so, yes, many amongst us tonight can relate that account in their own life's experience whenever God breathed upon them, and when they knew that transformation, and whenever death was no longer the reality, but life, everlasting life, was their present possession. But what about you tonight? You who are still outside of Christ. You who are still a stranger to his mercy and to his grace. Well, you too know that marvelous outcome that only he can bestow. Being here tonight won't do you any good. But believing the message that's preached here tonight will do you a world of good. And so tonight, sinner, will you believe? Will you look to him who alone is able to do a work in your life? And yes, you may be coming with the years, years of a tale that is full of woe. Years of a tale that has many regrets, many failures, many events, many words, many occasions that you wish you could just relive again. A tale that perhaps testifies to a truth that you believe with all your heart. How could God ever love me? How could God ever save me? But take heart from this message. For in a place, in a life, in one with whom everything seems to be impossible, where there seems to be no hope, God alone is able to work. God alone is able to save. And so, yes, to Ezekiel, and yes, to the many faithful prophets who were also around in the generation in which he lived, this work was impossible, but to God, nothing was or ever shall be impossible. So come with your heart. Come with your woe. Come with all the tragedy that's been experienced. Come with all the sin that one day you have rejoiced in. Come and be cleansed. Come and be transformed. Come and be made new. Come and receive life everlasting and free. For there's life for a look at the crucified one. But tonight we urge you, do it now. Ere the door of mercy closes, come to Him. Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding off a sheaf. Be in time. Waiting days shall soon be past, and the die shall soon be cast, and the faithful line be passed. Be in time.